for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, April 1st, 1995. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Noah of Salina, Kansas is the speaker of the afternoon.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Let's all stand up.
Oh, Jesus. 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 Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord Jesus, just touch us tonight, Lord. Loose your anointing, Lord, for it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord God. The anointing will break every yoke, Lord. Lord, we just ask for your anointing to come forth now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Anoint the words. Anoint your word, Lord, as it goes forth. Well, Lord, as your word goes forth, Lord, it is the truth, Lord, and it will break the yoke. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. Amen. Sit down. You know, yesterday we talked about bondage. And we said that bondage causes pain and anguish and hurting. And that bondage will bind you to compulsive behavior. It will bind you to compulsive behavior that you would like to stop. That the spirit of bondage, the poet said that iron walls and iron bars and stone walls do not a prison make. And then Richard Lovelace wrote that back in the 17th century when they put him in jail for being a Christian. And it is true that iron bars and stone walls aren't the only kind of prison. You can be put into a prison of bondage. The devil can put you into a prison that you can't get out of compulsive behavior. Whether it's overeating, whether it's drinking alcohol, or using drugs, or smoking cigarettes, or whether it's some type of compulsive sexual behavior that's unacceptable to God, whether it's a compulsive thought pattern that goes through your mind, that entraps you. I remember once ministering to a man when he counted four cars. When he started counting, he had to count to at least five. He could never stop at one or two or three. He always had to count until he got to five. And he didn't know why, but if he didn't, it made him extremely uncomfortable. Now, in medicine, you call that obsessive compulsive behavior. I call it bondage. And it is a type of bondage. And remember yesterday we looked at Hosea. Let's look at Hosea. Now, Hosea comes after Daniel. There's Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea. And in Hosea, in the fourth chapter, the prophet speaks that the people have been involved in idolatry. They have been worshiping in the Canaanite temples. And the Canaanite temples, there were priests and priestesses that sold their sexual services for offerings to their God. They were called zonites, ritual prostitutes. They were called dogs. But the people of Israel entered into this. And God said that they had gone whoring under every green tree on the high places. But they also went to other temples on the high places in which divination and witchcraft, in which they worship the god Baal. And so here he speaks about this. And he starts with verse 6 and says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God." It was against the law of God for them to be in these heathen temples. It was against the law of God for them to be performing sexual acts outside of their mate. He said, "I will also forget your children." Then he says, "The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on iniquity. It shall be like people like priests. So I will punish them for their ways. I will reward them for their deeds, or repay them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not have enough. That's gluttony. You keep on eating, but you just don't ever get enough. They shall commit harlotry, but not increased. That's sterility. Because they've ceased obeying the Lord. Whoredom, wine, and new wine enslave the heart. And there we find that whoredom and wine, that word whoredom, is both idolatry and sexual promiscuity, sexual sin. God considers sex outside of marriage, or unnatural sex, or forbidden sex, that type of sex which is forbidden by Scripture, to be an act of worship to Satan. And he said, people who do this hate me. Now, with God, you can either love God or you can hate him. There's no middle ground. You can either serve him or you can serve the world. And remember that the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. There's no middle ground. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols. That's idolatry. That's divination rod or staff informs them. The spirit of whoredom has caused them to stray. You can read the rest of it. I won't read the rest of it. If you get me started, I won't ever get out of this. But if in the past this carries a four-generational curse, and if your ancestors were involved in sexual sin or in immorality, worshiping idols, now how do you worship an idol? Worship money. How about money? That's a pretty good idol. How many folks say, if I just had another $50, I wouldn't have any problems? If I just had another $50 a week, I just wouldn't have all my problems be satisfied. Have you ever said that? Then you're looking to manum, to money. You're putting your trust in money. Therefore, you're worshiping money and you're pulling away from the Lord your God. Try good looks. Pride of your good looks. Position. Prestige. All those things can be idle. I really think that this curse of whoredom involves everybody, to be perfectly honest with you. Now, this curse comes down. And there are familiar spirits that have been assigned to your family. And that's the reason the curse of the whoremonger seems to run in families. Father was a whoremonger. Then son will probably be a whoremonger. Uncle was a whoremonger. And one of your children. Spirit of bondage has run in my family for years. My family were all Masons. Thank you, Lord, that you set me free. Oh, God, thank you that you set me free, Lord. But I had three uncles. I had one uncle who was a whoremonger. I had three uncles who were alcoholics. And my father was an alcoholic. And their father before them had both problems, as best I can tell. And unfortunate genealogy, they don't record much about this, and nobody ever talks about it because it's not considered polite. But I broke the curse off of my children. And I encourage my brothers and sisters to do the same. Lord, bring them to salvation. Lord Jesus, just bring them to salvation. God, I claim them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31, Lord, and I ask you to bring them to salvation, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so, what comes with this curse? Well, whoremongering comes with it. What's a whoremonger? A whoremonger is a man who's always after chasing skirts. That's what he is. And as he gets older, and he doesn't look quite as good as he used to, he's not as attractive as he used to be. Quite frequently, he will hire young men and be involved in homosexual sex because he thinks he can draw his youth back from them. And it's not at all unusual for 60 and 65 and 70-year-old men who have the whoremongering curse on them to be suddenly become involved in homosexual sin. Generally, it's phileto. Any of you know what phileto is? A medical term. Anybody know what it means? Well, you'll pardon me. It comes from the Latin word, which means to suck. And it is placing of the male organ in the mouth. It's generally involved in phileto. not in anal copulation or sodomy. But the legal definition of sodomy includes both. The legal definition of sodomy includes both. If you see someone who's been arrested for sodomy, that generally it is phileto that they have been arrested for. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I could make a comment, but I won't. Thank you, Lord. We have some very prominent people who have whoremongering spirits, and they're in the newspaper. And all you got to do is read the newspaper, and you will have read what I've just described. Several months back now. But that's a whoremonger. A whore is someone who is a female who is sexually promiscuous. That means that we have lots of young girls in high school today who are whores. I mean that they have a series of monogamous relationships. Lots of them have more than that. I have young girls that I see professionally that are 14 years old and had 5 and 6 sexual partners at 14, 12, 13, 14, 15. Those girls technically are called whores, according to Webster's New International Dictionary. A harlot is someone who engages in sexual intercourse for pay. They're professional prostitutes. Lord, I just thank you and praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I hope I don't offend anyone. But I'm afraid I call a spade, not an agricultural instrument. How does God feel about this? It's a curse. It says right here in the back of, let's look at verse 14. Verse 13. Says they offer sacrifices on the mountaintops, they burn incense on the hills, on the populous, because it says, therefore your daughters will commit harlotry and your brides will commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with the ritual harlot. Therefore people who do not understand will be ruined, trampled or ruined, because the parents and the grandparents have engaged in this evil, controlling bondage spirit comes down on the children and controls them. How do we get away from it? We repent of the sins of our ancestors. And somebody says, now wait a minute, where in God's world does it say that you should repent of the sins of your ancestors? Well, let's turn over to Leviticus, please. Chapter 26. 26, 27. 26. Chapter 26, verse 40. He's talked about the first 40 verses. Moses has convicted the people of Israel. He says, but if they will confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their unfaithfulness. It says the same thing in Daniel 2. Daniel 9:20, it says the same thing. And there's several other verses. You confess the sins of your fathers. Just confess them. And say, God, break the curse on me and my children forever. That's what it takes. Jesus was made a curse for you. Galatians 3:16 says Jesus was made a curse for you that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. 3:13. Thank you. And so you confess the sin and Jesus will break the curse. In the Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Now, you remember 1 Thessalonians was the first epistle written. Paul had gotten to Corinth on his second missionary journey. He left Athens, and while he was in Athens, he sent Timothy and Silas back to check on the people in Corinth, in Thessalonica. And when they came back, they gave him a report. He sort of got upset and he wrote this letter and sent it back to him. And it says here, chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God. Now you won't find very often in the Bible it says, this is the will of God for your life. It says, this is the will of God for your life. Your sanctification. Sanctification means to be made holy, set apart for God. He sanctified you with his blood. That you should abstain from sexual immorality.
fornication. Porneo. The Greek word is porneo. That means that is a root word from which we get pornography. It also means idolatry. Now, if you want to know what that word encompasses, you just think of the beer ads, where they say if you'd have a drink a certain brand of beer, you're going to get this good-looking young woman out on the beach with a skinny bikini. All you got to do is drink that can of beer, that particular brand. All the way down to the worst bestiality and hardcore pornography you can think about. That is what porneo covers. It covers sexual sin. And he says it is the will of God that you should abstain from it, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel, own body, in holiness, sanctification and honor, holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the unbelievers or like the heathen who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother. God says that when you do this, you are taking advantage of and defrauding your brother in this manner. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned and testified. It says God is the avenger. How many of y'all want God to be the avenger? That's what it says. God is the avenger. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but to holiness. Therefore, because of that, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who's given us his Holy Spirit. Now, after you read this, I don't see how you can have said, say there is any justification for unlawful sex. And what is lawful sex? Lawful sex is sex between a man and a woman that had been married before God, that had been joined in a covenant relationship. Marriage is a covenant, a blood covenant. Did y'all know that? That marriage was a blood covenant? And 25 years ago in this country, that a marriage contract was not binding until it had been consummated in intercourse? It was not binding because the blood covenant had not been accomplished. If you get married in the Middle East, the mother and father, the girls, they meet, the girl and the boy spend the night in the girl's house, upstairs in the bedroom. Parents downstairs in the dining room, living room, waiting. The next morning, they're upstairs checking. They're looking at the sheets. They're looking for blood. There better be blood on the sheets. And then they hang them out the window for the neighbors to see. In the Bible, it says, in Deuteronomy, it speaks of this custom. Did y'all know that? It says, bring the cloth of the proof of her virginity. Praise your Lord Jesus. I tell you, that girl is not going to bleed. She better bite her tongue and spit on those sheets. But, do you know what constitutes legal evidence that penetration has occurred in a court of law? They will take a coposcope and they will look at the vaginal mucosa. And they're looking for microscopic bleeding tears. Blood is shed during intercourse. The same is true on the male organ. Blood is shared. That is the way AIDS is spread. Because blood is shed. Now, it's much more common in anal intercourse because anal, the mucosa and the anus is not prepared to take that type of friction. Therefore, it bleeds much more freely. Therefore, AIDS is much more contagious that way. This is the reason that it's seen much more commonly in homosexuals in this country, or people who engage in anal intercourse. If you go to Africa, you'll find that it's mostly transmitted heterosexually. And there are reasons for that I won't go into. A lot of controversy as to why it's that way, I think I understand, but I'm not going to go into that. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But the lawful sex involves a man and a woman joined together in a blood covenant before God Almighty, in a natural position. And the vagina was designed for the penis. The armpit wasn't, the mouth wasn't, the anus wasn't, but the vagina was. And that's natural sex. Anything else falls under the definition of porneia. I have had a number of Pentecostal preachers quote me the verse in Thessalonians. I mean, quote me the quote me the verse in Hebrews. And it says, the marriage bread shall remain undefiled. Fornicators and adulterers God will punish. That's the King James Version. There are other translations. I would suggest you read the Phillips translation of the New American Standard translation. And they use the King James to say anything goes. And that's not true. There's no place in Scripture that will substantiate that. But it makes them popular. I mean, you bend a little with the world. You compromise a little with the world. And therefore, you're more popular. Because oral genital sex is very common. And there are a lot of people that just, they're in bondage to it. They don't know how to get out. And so, they make it legal. This is the corruption of the church. It's called the doctrine of the Nickelodeons, the doctrine of compromise, to compromise God's word. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. It said, oh, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you are truly a reborn Christian, your body does not belong to you, and you do not have a right to do with your body as you see fit. Most people say, I will do with my body as I see fit. That is not a Christian prerogative. Jesus Christ owns your body. He bought and paid for it with his blood and the principle of the Godel. You were sold into bondage, into slavery, into the devil. You were by nature, by birth, the child of wrath, sold into slavery by your ancestor Adam. But Jesus Christ was your kinsman redeemer. He redeems you, he paid the price, and he purchased your body. And what does it say that? It says that in 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold or silver from the aimless conduct received from the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so you were purchased with God's blood. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Keep your finger in 6. Let's go to 3 and look at verse 16. And we see a little different reading of this verse. Or do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone deviles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And that comes along with God is the avenger. I read a study 6 weeks ago or 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I wrote the journal and I got a copy of it, the Journal of Death and Dying. And it was a study in which they went back in the last 20 years and took all the obituaries out of the gay publications all over the country. And then they took the obituaries from one of the New York papers, the regular New York papers. And they compared the life expectancy. Now, the life expectancy of a married man was in the 70s, a married woman, heterosexual woman who were married, was also in the 70s. The expectation that they would reach 65 years of age was 50%, better than 50%. The life expectancy of a unmarried male, heterosexual, is 59. Gentlemen and women, prolong your life. The average expectation of livelihood of a practicing homosexual male before AIDS was 44 years. After AIDS was 39 years. If he had been married and had lived with a woman, then his life expectancy went up to 50 years. But if he had a long-term live-in partner of the same sex, it didn't change the mortality. Now, those are figures to think of. It took me 2.5 hours to read it. I read it very carefully. And I thought it was an excellent article. It was sort of a unique way because I don't know of any other way you would establish this. I tried first through CDC, and they had no figures for the life expectancy of homosexuals. That's such a politically sensitive issue that they don't keep them. But I thought it was an interesting study. I thought it was an excellent study that was done. But why would they? Why would it destroy you like that? Why would a healthy male only live 39 years or 44 years before they had the fatal disease AIDS? Well, the sexually transmitted diseases is 20 times higher among homosexuals. Sexually transmitted diseases are directly proportional to the number of sexual partners you have in your lifetime. A promiscuous female will have maybe 15 partners in her lifetime. The average male homosexual, less than 2% of them have only 10 partners in their lifetime. These are studies that were done by CDC questioning male homosexuals. Let me see if I shouldn't quote these figures because I just should have them in front of me, but I'm trying to draw them out of my mind now. The 50%, 60% of them will say they have over 250. 49% will say they have over 500. And 25% or 30% will say they have over 1,000 lifetime partners. I had some very nice man, I quoted this one night at Bible study, and I had some very nice man, some very nice pastor, get in my face and tell me I didn't know what I was talking about. I thought he was going to hit me. And I said, I'm only quoting CDC, man. And he was very vehement. Should have told me something. But he was homosexual. And he had bought the line that he was born that way. He'd bought the line that it did not affect his life, that it was a perfectly normal lifestyle, and that there was no difference in their mental health. In case you're interested, the American Academy of Pediatrics says that there is no difference in the mental health of homosexual children and heterosexual children. People who grow up homosexual, there is no difference in their mental health. They bought the line. They bought the propaganda. They say that you're born that way and you can't change. Adler and Freud in the 20s were able to successfully reorient 75% of their people that came to them for therapy, people who wanted to change. Now, you got to understand, you got to have a motivation to want to change. It's hard. It's like leaving alcoholism. It's hard. It's hard to change because you got to change attitudes. It's a learned behavior, and you got to change attitudes, and you got to change the way you feel, and you got to change lifelong patterns of fear and hate and distrust because of the way things have happened in your lifetime. Exodus International, which is a group for gays who are coming out of the, quote, gay lifestyle, out of the homosexual lifestyle, says that they're able to help 75% of the people who come to them. Depends on their motivation. Now, there's a difference between people who are... There's a difference between people who are homosexually preferenced and homosexually active. Nobody chooses to be homosexually preferenced. It's not a choice that you make. It's something that happens to you. There is a way out. Like nobody chooses to be an alcoholic. I don't think anybody chooses to be a whoremonger, not a real whoremonger, because that's such a destructive lifestyle. It's something that comes down through the family line, but it's a spiritual entity. The work to show it's in the genes, the work to show it's in the brain, do not bear good scientific scrutiny. Most of these works were done by, quote, gay scientists with a point to prove. They had an agenda that they wished to prove. The much ballot in the press that came from Linda Lomer about the difference in the brain sizes, or the nucleus in the brain size, they're talking about a very small portion of the brain, in which they did autopsies on 30 people. 16 of them they knew were practicing homosexuals, all died of AIDS. And they looked at their brains. And they had 16, quote, straight people. But they didn't know whether they were straight or not. They guessed that they were probably straight. Although five or six of them died of AIDS, too. But they called them all straight. And they compared the brains. And the analysis that their conclusions did not, even with that bias, their conclusions did not stand up under statistical analysis. It was too small, much too small a series, but even if you subjected it to mathematical statistical analysis, it didn't correlate. But nevertheless, it was published in the press as great proof. But when you looked at the study itself, you realize it was deeply flawed. But then again, the press put their spin on it. You can believe that the press will put their spin on it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I don't know how I got into this. I've been doing a lot of study on it. But so you have somebody who is homosexually oriented. That means they have a desire. Now, when that is not a sin, it's not a sin until it's conceived and acted on. But when you let the barrier down and become, then it becomes sin. And once you break the barrier, that thing comes in like a torrent. And after 3 or 4 times, you no longer feel like it's wrong. The demon has branded you. Remember, the seducing spirit will seduce you in, and he will brand your brain sear your brain with a hot iron. Sear your conscience. And you don't feel like it's wrong anymore. Suddenly, it's not wrong anymore. The same is true of the whoremonger. The same is true of the homosexual. The same is true of the man involved in incest with his daughter or his son. The same is true of the man who's involved in bestiality. The man who's involved in pornography. The man who's involved in compulsive masturbation. You must have to understand that one of the horrible problems that homosexuals have is compulsive masturbation. Particularly those who are homosexually preferenced but not active. They will be involved in marathon masturbation with using pornography and so forth, which is freely available in adult bookstores. Which is sin, of course. Which is sin. And it brings torment and fear, torment and frustration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's look at how God feels about sex outside of marriage. Let's look at chapter 6. I'm sure we need to go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you that list includes just about everybody. You know that? And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Now the body is dropping down to 13, last verse. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And come on down to verse 16, 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. But don't you know that he is joined to a harlot, is one body with her, for the two shall become one body. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. When you commit sexual sin, you must realize that that a careful reading of Proverbs will show you that there's a dispensation of soul material, blood, big fact, in intercourse. And when you are joined to someone in intercourse, part of your soul goes out. It says, let's look at that. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs comes right after Psalms, right in the middle of the Bible. Proverbs 6, 32. It says, whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Now, the word soul there is nephah. And as already translated in the King James Bible, is either soul or life. Now, I'll give you an idea of another place. In Isaiah 53, it says, Jesus poured out his soul unto death. What did he pour out? Now, the word used is nephah. He poured out his blood. But it says he poured out his soul unto death. But let's move on. Okay. Let's turn on, let's go over to chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7 is about a young man who's going to town, and the wayward woman entraps him, entices him into her home. 21 says, with enticing speech she called him to yield. With flattering lips she seduced him. Immediately, verse 22, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his soul. It says life and mine, but that's nephah. It would take his soul. Lose part of his soul. Again, about the immoral woman. It says three, from the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. Her mouth is smooth and oil, but in the end she's bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword. Come on down to verse 9. Verse 8 says, remove you away from her. Do not go near her door of her house, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your strength and your labors go to the house of the foreigner and you mourn at last when your flesh and body are consumed. That's the price of sexual immorality. Evidence. What's the evidence? I quoted you the studies of people who have multiple sexual partners can expect a low life expectancy. 50% of the young ladies who come in to the University of California, Berkeley Health Center have venereal warts. Venereal warts cause cancer for the cervix. There is a wide transitional zone on the cervix of a woman until she's 30 years old, and venereal warts will cause cancer. That's the reason they do pap smears on them. Once a young lady becomes sexually active, they start doing pap smears on them. Why? Because the chance of cancer rises and is directly related to the number of sexual partners she has, which is related to the number of sexually transmitted diseases she may contract. Generally speaking, lesbian women have the lowest incidence of AIDS. But nevertheless, their life expectancy, and I do not remember. I just cannot remember the number. And so I won't quote a number. But it is much shorter than heterosexual women. The incidence of venereal warts in lesbians is much higher than the general population at large. And certain other diseases. But what happens in a sexual union is a disposition of soul material. Thank you, Lord. Sexual immorality causes God's anger. Did you know it makes God mad? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We keep going back to Corinthians because the Corinthian church had some problems. You know, they had. And so Paul spoke a lot about this because they had problems. But let's look at chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it says, let us not commit fornication, as some of them did, and in one day 25,000 fell. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about, keep your finger in that, and let's go over to Numbers chapter 25. This was when Balaam tried to curse Israel, and he couldn't. God wouldn't curse them. He turned them into blessings. And so the man got ready to go home, and he went by and talked to him and said, look, if you want to make this God mad at them, Have your young ladies go and invite those men over to your temples and eat the sacrifices to idols and be involved in sexual immorality in your temples. It'll make their God mad. And it tells you that in Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. I don't remember the verse now, but you can read it if you'd like. Let's see what it says here. Then Israel remained in acacia grove, and people began to commit fornication with the women of Moab. They invited the people to sacrifices to their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to the gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of God was aroused against Israel. And then the Lord said to Moses, take the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before God out in the sun, that the fierce anger of God may turn away from Israel. And so Moses said to the judges of Israel, kill every one of you. Kill his men who had joined to Baal of Peor. They killed every one of them. Hung them out in the sun. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brothers a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Now then when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose from the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, went after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust through both of them. They apparently were lying very close together, and he just stuck the spear through both of them. And so the plague was stopped. And those who died in the plague were 24,000. Now, I don't know how many of them hung. But if you carefully compare the census taken in Numbers after this, you'll find that half the tribe of Simeon was gone. It's very interesting to compare those numbers of when they went in and then when they took the census later. Half the tribe of Simeon wasn't there. I think that they had a... Well, praise the Lord Jesus. But a lot of people died. A lot of innocent people, 24,000 innocent people died. You know, sin always has innocent victims. People ask me if AIDS is God's curse on homosexuals, and I say no. I don't think so. I think AIDS is the price of sin. And if you involve yourself in sinful behavior, it'll get you. It'll get you. Something will happen. I think that because of the promiscuity that they get AIDS. They say, well, what about the young kid that had the blood transfusion, that had the heart surgery in the blood, died of AIDS? Innocent victim. What about the mother I had with her two children who were riding down the road and some drunk came along and ran into them and killed them? They never did anything wrong. They just would come into the doctor's office and some drunk ran into them and killed them. They were innocent victims of sin. Sin has innocent victims. 24,000 of them there. But it aroused God's anger. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so what are we supposed to do with sexual immorality? Go back to verse 2, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, flee. Chapter 6, verse 18 says, flee. Now, the Bible don't tell you to run away from anything. My father used to always tell me that if a young woman got after an old man, the old man didn't have a chance. He said a young woman just gets after this old man, if he don't get out of the way, that he ain't got a chance. Well, to a certain extent, that's true. If he doesn't flee, I tell young boys, I talk to teenage boys, and I tell them that sexual misconduct is wrong before God. And they say, and here young men who are 16, a young man's sexual drive peaks when he's 16. A teenage boy at 16 years old will think of sex every 10 minutes. He doesn't think of anything else. A young girl at 16, her sexual drive doesn't peak till she's 30, and she may think of it once a day, unless she gets this whoring spirit that drives her and gets in bondage to it and winds up in compulsive behavior. And then she'll think about it all the time, too. I say, if you get in that situation, flee. Don't get involved in prolonged petting. Don't put yourself in a position where you may lose control. You're supposed to live. Now let's look back at 1 Thessalonians and see how Paul put that. He says you're supposed to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor, in holiness and honor. Not in the passion of lust like the heathen that don't know God. I tell them that they should not pierce the girl's body, because every place in the Old Testament when it talks about sexual immorality, it talks about piercing. It says Abraham, or when it talks about sexual intercourse, it talks about being pierced. The Hebrew word means to pierce. I say you should not French kiss your girlfriend. You should not pierce her body. For when you do, you open yourself to sexual lust. It's called soul kissing among the kids. You should not be involved in heavy petting, because you will get yourself in a situation where you will lose control, and you may pay for it the rest of your life with disastrous consequences. We used to think more about teenagers, so we set up positions, we set things up to protect them. The social functions were carefully monitored. Rules of conduct were such that anyone who violated the rules of conduct, it became obvious, and they were brought to correction, and the degree of legitimacy, very low. Degree of virginity, both male and female, was really quite high. I'll have to admit that when I was a teenager and I was unsaved, I did not know God. But the one thing I did not want to happen to me, I still remembered the young man who got the girl pregnant, and he was working in Miller's sawmill, pushing boards through the saw the rest of his life to support that woman. And I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to do better than that. And I'll tell you the one thing I did not want to do. And so I knew there were consequences that I was unwilling to accept. And so I did not involve myself in such behavior. Maybe I scared, I don't know. But I wasn't saved. I can't say I did it because I thought it was... Well, I did that because I thought that was wrong behavior. It was I was afraid of the consequences of it. My mother had very carefully pointed it out to me that that was wrong behavior and what the consequences of my behavior would be. In those days, if you knocked up a girl, you got a girl pregnant, you married her after her, all the male members of her family came by and half killed you. They had a shotgun wedding if you were still alive. Now, that's not done anymore. I think that our society has changed for the worse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I think it's time to... I did. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I want everybody to stand up and hold their hands up. It said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Let's just praise him a little bit. Praise you and bless you and glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Glenn. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. And we give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Glory to you, Lord God. Hallelujah to you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we praise your name. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord God. Let's sit down now. We're going to have a mass deliverance service. In this, I will lead you in a confession, a general confession, which renounces not only the occult, the sexual sin, but also the occult, which is quite popular now. And then we'll come against the spirits. Now, if you feel, I want you to put both feet on the floor and just relax. And realize that spirit beings are air. The word spirit in the Greek is pneumo, which is like pneumatic tire. It's like pneumonia. It's air, breath. And it generally comes out of the breathing passages. It'll come out with a cough, with a yawn. Sometimes you'll vomit. The word cast out means to give a quick jerk or vomit. Sometimes they come out of your ears. Sometimes they scream. Sometimes you shake. What I want you to do is to come against it in your mind and tell it to leave. You set your will against it. And let what happens, happens. If you're afraid that you're going to lose your dignity, and you got to choose between your demons and your dignity, let your demons go, you can get your dignity back. Let your demons go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Would you all repeat after me? Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For dying for my sins. For your glorious resurrection. Making me a new creature in Christ. By faith in your precious blood. Lord, I have a confession to make. I've sought supernatural experience apart from your word. I've disobeyed your word. I want you to help renounce all these things and cleanse me. In body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. I renounce witchcraft, magic, Ouija boards, all other occult games, seances, clairvoyance, mediums, ESP, second sight and mind reading, fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, card laying, astrology, interest in horoscopes, heresy of reincarnation, all hypnosis, under any excuse. I break any curse placed on me from any occult source in Jesus' name. I renounce all curiosity about either the future or the past, which is outside your will. I renounce water witching, levitation, body lifting, table tipping. I renounce astral projection and all other demonic skills. I renounce all literature that I've ever read in these fields and vow I will destroy them that are in my possession, under my control. I now break, in the name of Jesus Christ, all psychic heredity, any demonic hold upon my family line, as a result of disobedience of any of my ancestors. I also break any bonds of physical or mental illness, in Jesus' name. I also break any demonic subjugation to my mother, my father, my grandparents, or any other human being, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I renounce everything psychic or occult. I renounce every philosophy that denies the divinity of Jesus Christ. Lord, I call upon you to set me free. I have another confession to make. I resented certain people. I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them. I do now forgive anyone that's ever hurt you, disappointed you. Anybody that's ever hurt you or disappointed you in any way that you've got unforgiveness against, I want you to forgive now very quietly. I want you to see anybody that God brings to mind, when it's the Holy Spirit to bring to mind anyone, if you've got anything against them, you need to forgive them. And you need to say it quietly under your breath, but you need to say it. Say, Lord, I forgive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I now forgive myself. You must forgive yourself. Jesus has forgiven you. You must forgive yourself. Dear Lord, I confess that I have committed sexual sin. I do repent and ask forgiveness. I confess that I have committed the following. And I want you to quietly name under your breath the sexual sin. Those things that you know are not under the blood, and those things that the Holy Spirit brings to mind. Very quietly, bring them up before God. 1 John 1:9 says, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear Lord, thank you for cleansing me and forgiving me. I accept this in accordance with your word. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. My Lord and Savior, I notify you. I'm reclaiming all areas that I previously yielded to you. I now close these doors forever. Specifically, I claim freedom from sexual sin and lust. I bind you and your host and command that you leave me now in the name of Jesus. I renounce every evil spirit that binds or torments me and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to set me free. For it is written in Joel 2:32, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Now just relax and come against these in your mind. In the name of Jesus, I just bind the spirits of rejection in the name of Jesus. Rejections by mother, rejections by father, rejections by friends, rejections by peers. I bind all spirits of rejection. These are God's children. Rejection, you've got no right to them. These are God's children. Well, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. They have been accepted in the beloved. They've been accepted. They are not rejected children. They are children of God. Turn loose now in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection come out in the name of Jesus. All spirits of rejection, I bind you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of fear, 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 legion fear, fear of not being right, fear of criticism, fear of punishment, in the name of Jesus, fear of the dark, fear of closed places, fear of spiders, fear of water, legion fear, bondage fear, witchcraft bondage fear. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I command you to turn these God's people loose in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose now. All spirits of fear, I just bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of lust, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life in the name of Jesus. All spirits of lust, sexual lust, lusting after money, position and power and prestige. All lust, the lust of the world in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the name of Jesus. All sexual lust, I bind you and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. All lust, be gone now. Leave. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of perversion in the name of Jesus. I come against the perverse spirit. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to leave God's people. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You got no right here. You got no right in the name of Jesus. And I bind you and I break the curse that's given you the right to be there in the name of Jesus. The spirits of exhibitionism in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of bestiality, I break the curse of bestiality. I break the curse of whoremongering in the name of Jesus Christ. I break all sexual curses in the name of Jesus and command them to leave and be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go in the name of Jesus, all of you. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirit of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. All spirits of witchcraft. All spirits of witchcraft mind control in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. These are God's people. You can't touch them anymore. In the name of Jesus, I just bind you and command you to leave and be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. I break all ungodly soul ties to the past. I break all ungodly soul ties. I speak to witchcraft mind control in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, and I say that you have no power, no authority. You can communicate with no other spirit in the name of Jesus. Draw no power from any other spirit. You must leave and be gone in the name of Jesus. Turn God's people loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Just be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, I just bind you and command you to leave now. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. I come against the spirits of sorcery now. Sorcery, I bind you, sorcery. Alcohol, drugs, music, I bind you in the name of Jesus and command you to leave God's people. Just be gone in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of deep hurt now. Deep hurt. I come against the spirits of pride, ego, and vanity and deep hurt in the name of Jesus. I bind you, deep hurt. I bind shame, deep hurt, and frustration. I bind envy and jealousy in the name of Jesus. I bind envy and jealousy and covetousness in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I break the curse of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. I pull out the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I break out the curse of bitterness in the name of Jesus. Be gone now. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Just be gone. All of you. All of you. Be gone. The curse of bitterness. Bitterness. As Moses put the stick in the pool at Marah, he threw the tree in. And the bitterness became sweet. I put Jesus Christ in the bitter pool in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone all bitterness, all hurt, all envy, all jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. In the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of Antichrist in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of stubbornness. Stubborn spirit. Stubborn spirit. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity as unto idolatry. I bind the spirit of stubbornness, of stubborn self-will, of being unteachable in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of being unteachable in the name of Jesus. I bind it and command them all to leave. Leave God's people now in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind you. These are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They've been purchased with Jesus' blood in the name of Jesus. I bind you in the spirit in that chair by the Spirit of the living God in the name of Jesus. They've been purchased by Jesus' blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. All their sins have been forgiven. You've got no right to them in the name of Jesus. No right at all in the name of Jesus. They've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven. Romans 5:9 says, much more now they have been justified by His blood and saved from the wrath to come. They've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven. They've been declared not guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got no right to them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. These people have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:12 says, Jesus suffered without the gate that He might sanctify the people with His blood. They've been sanctified, made holy, set apart for God. You've got no right to them in the name of Jesus. I bind you now and command you to be gone in the name of Jesus. I loose the hornets from heaven to drive you out. For Jesus said that He would send the hornets in. He's sending the hornets to drive out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Ammonites and the Jebusites and the Gushites in the name of Jesus. All the sites in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose the hornets to drive you out. I loosen the spirit of fire and destruction upon you, demons. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone now. Be gone. I speak to the spirit of Asmodeus in the name of Jesus. And I bind Asmodeus, the spirit of destruction, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All of you. Leave in the name of Jesus. All Asmodeus. Asmodeus, Apollyon. I come against the spirits of yoga. And I come against the spirits of serpentine in the name of Jesus. All the serpentine spirits. All the yoga spirits. All the spirits of Kundalini. I bind you, Kundalini, in the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. All witchcraft. All Kundalini in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I come against the spirits of infirmity. All the spirits of infirmity in the name of Jesus. I come against the infirmity of the mind in the name of Jesus. I come against insanity. I come against the spirits of schizophrenia and paranoia in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I come against all spirits of encephalitis in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. I come against spirits of stroke in the name of Jesus. I bind you and command you to leave.
I come against blindness, spiritual blindness, blindness of the eyes, in the name of Jesus. And I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against all spirits of hay fever, all spirits of allergy, all spirits of asthma. And I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pneumonia, all spirits of cardiac trouble, all spirits of heart failure in the name of Jesus. All spirits of congestion be gone. All spirits of esophagitis, of stomach ulcers, of cancer in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirits of cancer and brain tumor and migraine headaches. And I come against the spirits of deafness and Meniere's syndrome and labyrinthitis in the name of Jesus. And I bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak healing and restitution to them in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. Leave in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of colitis. I come against the spirits of Crohn's disease. Be gone in the name of Jesus. All colitis in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone. I come against the spirit of AIDS in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of chlamydia in the name of Jesus Christ, of human papillomaviruses. Go be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All sexually transmitted diseases, I bind you and command you to leave. Come against all vaginitis in the name of Jesus Christ. All prostatitis in the name of Jesus. All cystitis in the name of Jesus. Come against all diabetes. Come against all arthritis in the name of Jesus. I bind you. Command you to leave. But Jesus Christ, I speak healing and restitution to my people now, to these people. For Jesus Christ bore their infirmities and their sorrows and their sickness and their pain. And by His stripes, they've been healed. By the stripes of the whipping post, I speak healing and restitution to God's people now. I bind the spirit of death. Command it to leave. Leave God's people. Go. Spirits of death. Spirits of depression, spirits of heaviness, anger, rage, and murder. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. Be gone. Spirits of paranoia. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. All ecclesiastical spirits, all religious spirits, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Be gone. Praise your name, Lord. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Somebody hold up their hands now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Everybody stand up. Hold up their hands now. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Come against the curse of death in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of death. Thank you, Lord. Lord, touch the people now, Lord God. Just touch them, Lord Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Just touch them, Lord. Don't let them tear them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord God. I come against the spirits of anger and rage now, Lord. Lord, I release your spirits of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge in the fear of the Lord. Fill them with your joy, Lord, and float all these things out of them in the name of Jesus, Lord. Praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They're ready to serve supper?
Yeah.
Okay. Those people who want extra prayer come up. The rest of you, they're ready for supper. Praise you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, bless the food now, Lord. Lord, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Just ask you to bless the food now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.